if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 338. This is our 2025 AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am and BAPCO Energies Bahrain Championship Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan joins me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selection for this week's PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, Barry.
Morning, Steve.
Visit our world-famous golf betting system website where we have my in-depth betting preview for the AT&T Pebble Beach event. We've got Pebble Beach strokes gained rankings plus form stats. All of that content is available across both events completely free of charge with no paywall. We're available on X. You can follow us. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. I am at Bamford Golf. I'm also on Blue Sky. Just search for Steve Bamford. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available each and every week. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. This one is entitled A New Year. It's from Jack and he's in Connecticut. Welcome back, guys. Feels like I've been reunited with some old friends. Look forward to some excellent listens throughout the year. Many cheers. Short and sweet, but thank you, Jack. Thanks for your time. If you could deliver some fresh five-star reviews, it would be most welcome. Our supply is very low right now, so if you could spare some time, that'd be great. Press that five-star button on Spotify as well. Right, let's address the elephant in the room. We haven't got Paul this week, Barry.
No
Paul on the podcast.
Stricken down, unfortunately.
He had a bit of a, what's the best way of describing it? I'm not going to go into too much detail for obvious reasons, but he had a bit of an incident with his health on Friday. Involved an overnight stay in hospital. He's certainly not up to full speed as yet. Hence why some of the detail on the Golf Betting System website on Monday wasn't fully up to speed. No predictor models, no in-depth preview from Paul in terms of tips and whatever. I know that Barry's been in contact with him, so we have got Paul's thoughts on Bahrain this week. But he's not in a great situation right now health-wise. So if you guys could send him some tweets, he's at Golf Betting on X. If you want to send him a get well soon email, just email paul.williams@golfbettingsystem.co.uk. I'm sure that your positive vibes will cheer him up. He's basically locked in a darkened room was the latest thing I heard from him yesterday. It sounds like he's got some kind of vertigo kind of issue. He's got no balance or whatever, so he's dealing with that. But if you could send some messages of support, that would be greatly, greatly thankful for that. But yeah, it was all a bit skew with over the weekend, Barry, with the news from Paul. So I didn't really concentrate that much on the golf. I don't know about you. And the Saturday finish on the PGA is always a bit of a weird one for me, especially as I was out celebrating my birthday on Saturday. But we had the fifth PGA Tour victory of one Harris English at Torrey Pines. What were your thoughts around that?
I got a bit caught out by the Saturday finish as well. The Wednesday start's always nice. Mm. Kind of gets golf going earlier in the week. I kind of picked up bits and pieces throughout the week. There's something just tragically disappointing about Torrey Pines to my eye, that it's in such a stunning location and visually seems kind of repetitive. Even though it's not, it's just there's something there that just doesn't fully engage my brain, which is and that makes it harder to watch, and then you've got less big names up there. So look, it was fine, it was a golf tournament. To say this is so dreary, but that if, you know, I'm an avid golf fan, and if that's the kind of vibe I'm feeling at the moment, is that something that other golf fans are feeling as well about the PGA Tour and what it's like on TV? Yeah, maybe.
I think there was other, there was some Farmers Insurance, they were apparently they were in the last year of their sponsorship. And
something like that, yeah.
If you were handing over upwards of $30 million and before the event you're just seeing named players withdraw at will.
Yeah.
And that can't be motivating to renew any kind of sponsorship arrangement. It's almost disrespectful. I mean, Torrey Pines, traditionally, Tiger Woods, you know, the classical nature of the course, major championship venue. It always, a lot of people used to think, well, actually, that's kind of the main start of the PGA Tour each year. But that event has been downgraded so badly now. And just look, and going back to what you said about the course, you just look, I'm just looking at the tee to green numbers there. It's all big hitters, you know, Christopher Ventura. You've got Will Gordon up there. These are guys that literally Taylor Pendrith. Sam Stevens was top of tee to green. Played well, don't get me wrong, but you could just lash the ball as far as you wanted, effectively, couldn't you? And the wider off the fairway you were, the better.
That's such a that can happen on some tour courses where you go into where the fans are, but this one it seemed to be particularly non-punishing to be wilder than close to just missing the fairway by a few feet.
Yeah,
very strange that a course can behave in such a way. If you had such a big event when Tiger was around, the Tiger factor is really hard to quantify, but the tournament remained in a lot of the pros' heads as the big kickoff of the year.
Yeah.
And if you had that status a few years ago and you've fallen to where you are now, like surely, I mean, and we've been saying this for a couple of years about this event, that, you know, it had been on the decline. How they just let, it seems that they've, you know, haven't done any drastic changes. It's disappointing.
Yeah, it's for a major championship venue. You would expect a better field, a far better field. But that's where we're at. TGL, yeah. you've got signature events. The elite players are literally picking and choosing what they want to do. And if it's not an elite tournament level, signature level tournament, a lot of them are just, nah, you're fine.
And they chose not to play this week because they were going to, because of the prospect of playing it twice in the space of 3 weeks.
Mm.
So does that tell you, that kind of tells you a little bit about what they think about the course?
Yeah. Yeah. That's very, very true. Great point.
It's a shame because like location wise, it's got to be one of the best out there. But yeah, there's something that doesn't agree with people about it.
Top 10 tee to green last week. Sam Stevens at one, Taylor Pendrith two, Charlie Hoffman tied with Sung Jae-im in third. Andrew Novak finished second in the end. He was fifth for tee to green. Streelman, six. Matsuyama, seven. Will Gordon, eight. Keegan Bradley, nine. Jay Day, 10. Harris English was 12th. But clearly, the putter was red hot. He ranked third overall for strokes gained putting across the full field. So, yeah, Harris English delivers. Actually jumped, I believe, now into the top five for Team USA Ryder Cup qualification as we are heading into February. So, a very useful victory for Mr. English. Over in Europe, we had Del Rey. Alejandro Del Rey won the Ras Al Khaimah Championship. He won at 22 under par. Marcus Armitage was the first day leader, was at the top of the leaderboard. And then Del Rey just pretty much dominated, didn't he? he was in control of that tournament throughout most of Saturday and certainly across the whole of the final Sunday round. So congratulations to Del Rey, a big victory for him. What do you think to Alejandro in terms of how he plays? What kind of ceiling do you think he might have, Baron?
Well, I was nearly cut across you there when you were in your thing. Harris English could go the Ryder Cup vibe. I mean, there has to be a good crossover between the way Torrey Pines plays and the way Bethpage plays.
Yeah,
he's that US equivalent of the one that could sneak in that we were talking about from the European perspective last week, or it might have been the week before. But yeah,
the other thing, yeah, you actually look at Harris, the best record he's got in majors is actually US Open, and as you said, that links very nicely to a long golf course like Bethpage.
He'd be a tricky opponent, just emotionally wise. He seems very calm. Nothing seems to ruffle him. So, you know, be hard to put away. You know, the vibe of being hard to put away on a, you know, just beat the mental battle side of things.
He's had a fourth, a third, and an eighth in the US Open for sure. And he represented America in the 2021 Ryder Cup. Del Rey, what do you think about Del Rey then? What do you think his ceiling is? Do you think he's a potential PGA Tour golfer of the future? Potentially next year?
I mean, what a win. He was really good.
Dominated, didn't he?
Yeah. And obviously, I was asking Paul about it last night, and he said he was on him for the tournament last week, 12 months ago, and he crashed out, you know. But, you know, you can't keep these things alive forever. He went in off a miscut, 125-1, not great form on the course. I was looking back at the sheets, middle of the tournament, thinking, could we have found him?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's just that kind of out of the blue. Strokes gained, mental game again. He must have just found a sweet spot for the week.
Strokes gained, you're not going to find him on any kind of statistical spreadsheet analysis, Victor.
Yeah, might have just had the best dinner ever on Wednesday and just felt great for the week.
But you know that his game actually was right for the course if he was actually in some kind of nick, yeah? One of those. Right, shall we move forward? Let's move towards this week's golf. Oh, by the way, I want to thank the listeners. I set you guys on YouTube a challenge of could you get us to 100 likes? Well, you smashed that. So, of course, as is the one of content providers out there. And it's great for the algorithm on YouTube. Never forget that. It just gets our content more visible out there. If you guys could get to 125 likes this week, that would be much appreciate. So if you're listening to this on YouTube, if you could press that like button, that'd be really, really good. Of course, subscribe to the channel as well. As we build forward, it'll be here before you know it. Augusta National, the Masters. I can almost feel it coming over the corner, even though we're the last week of January. Right, on to Pebble Beach. Signature level event, Barry. Let's hope it's going to be a good one because it's causing so much damage to other events. We need these events to be standout. 80-player short field. Two courses. No cut. $20 million up for grabs. It's pretty much everybody's there. There's one exception. Xander has decided not to play this week. So, interesting angle. No Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, still rumours about a rib issue for him.
Yeah, interesting. And we have got Scotty Scheffler back after his hand injury. I take it he needed some form of surgery or... Because it was a deep cut or something like that.
It sounded like something punched into the palm of his hand, so to get stitched up.
Now, my first reaction was he was chalked up first show yesterday, Monday, 11-2. There was some 11-2 out there. That's been annihilated, and all of a sudden, I'm seeing him in quite a few places now, 4-1. So people are are backing Scheffler off the board. My initial thoughts on this contest was that if you wanted to take anybody via Scheffler and McIlroy, this was probably the week, the tournament to do it. I don't know if you concur with that idea, but a guy I know the world number one has dominated golf. I know he won, was it six or seven signature events last year? Something crazy. If there was a week to take him on, it's probably when he's been able to do the least amount of practice that he has been able to do for like the last 3 to 4 years. That was my view. Mm.
I agree. I think so too. It's his first one back in a few weeks, coming back off a surgery, no practice. I think this, and maybe a little bit of it, the golf course can be a bit more demanding in the approach play, wanting that fine-tuned approach play to the small greens and, you know, nice touch around the greens as well. So, you know, he hasn't had, I'm sure he's been practicing quite a bit now the last few days or maybe a week or two even. But just that tournament sharpness might just be the week to get around and back somebody else.
I also noted in my analysis that previous, and I know this, you know, we're now talking about a signature level event. Get that. We saw this last year. But if you do look at this tournament historically, it tends to be won by players that have played at least twice on the PGA Tour, have some American experience. So that kind of puts me off someone like Rory McIlroy, who's only played once so far this season, and that was on the DP World Tour in Dubai. Would put me off someone like Tommy Fleetwood, who's in the same kind of boat. That's kind of where I was thinking. So I've left the top two alone this week. Let's go into some details around the actual course itself, the rota. 80 players. It is a pro-am, but this isn't the same pro-am format as it used to be, which was three courses and 72 holes of pro-am. We only see the amateurs on Thursday and Friday. They both have a go around, clearly, the famous Pebble Beach golf links. They get one day as well on Spyglass Hill. I've got some brilliant news as well. They have got Shot Link this year on Spyglass. So we're actually going to get 72 nice. Holes of Shot Link data for this tournament for the first time ever, which is great. Hooray.
Added benefit to losing Monterey.
Yes.
They probably had just enough resources to do it for both the courses. That's great.
That's positive news. Right. Let's talk Pebble Beach. Par 72. 6,972 yards. Clearly, I categorise it as short, coastal, very, very classical in its nature. Old-style golf course. It's actually a Neville and Grant 1990 original. Water hazards. All you got to do is look to the right on most holes. You see the Pacific. Number of bunkers, 116. Deep bunkers in many cases, especially around the greens. Acres of fairway, 27. Pretty generous, the fairways, to be honest, for a course that's so short. 2 to 3 inch perennial ryegrass with poana rough. The greens, this is the thing. It's always these are the smallest greens on tour every year. They're up there, or should I say down there, with Harbour Town, where they play the RBC Heritage the week after the Masters. 3,500 square feet on average. And of course, as per last week at Torrey Pines, they are poana. Spyglass Hill, where they have the other 18 holes either Thursday or Friday. Similar kind of setup in a way. Par 72, 7,041 yards. Holes with water hazards in play, 4. Number of bunkers, 62. Acres of fairway, 24. Again, 5,000 square feet green, slightly bigger. They are poana. Quoted as the greens as 10 and 10 and a half on the stimp meter from the course superintendent's fact sheet. Also noticeable, and we did see this last week, Barry, and it's something we didn't talk about at the top of the show. We actually saw greens last week that were firm and releasing. And wasn't it?
Refreshing.
Refreshing, yes.
Yeah.
Where golfers were hitting into greens where they were literally having to hit almost front aprons to then get a huge first bounce on the greens to back pins and having to judge their approach play that way. It was good. Yeah,
I think it's a great thing, and I hope we see a bit more of it this year. Last year felt like a soft year.
Very soft.
For whatever reasons, annual contract with fire departments, I'm not sure. But firm golf courses are ones that add, extra elements of difficulty in the challenge to the pros, but they are that good. And somebody who... the better pros will be able to figure it out and separate themselves in the field and therefore give themselves, marginally better chances to win tournaments. So, and as a viewer, it's more engaging to watch shots that have more to them than just stopping immediately when they land. So, I think it's a win-win. Maybe not all the players like it, but they're getting compensated well for the extra challenge. So, let's go.
It'd be interesting to find out what the man that finishes 80th actually lands up with in terms of a check. I thought it's fairly healthy when you've got a $20 million prize fund. Now, we know for a fact then that this golf course has received no precipitation in 2025. Whatever moisture levels we see have been put on this course deliberately. So that's worthy of note. Now, that's the positive side. The negative side in terms of challenging is I am seeing, and we are by the Pacific Coast, Monterey, things do change quickly. But I've been keeping my eye on the long-term range forecast here since Saturday, and there has not been a sniff of any significant wind across any of the tournament this way. Now, I was on X earlier, and there was a piece of content on there of a video of Tony Finau last year in practice hitting a driver to the postage stamp hole, the very short par 3 on the front nine. He was hitting driver. The wind was that strong in practice. None of that kind of stuff looks like it's going to be happening this year whatsoever. So what we could have here is a very unique situation on the PGA Tour. We could have a very calm kind of condition set up, potentially though with ground conditions that are on the firmish to releasing side, which will be very interesting to watch. And if you look at the forecast, there's going to be no real excuse to get the local fire brigade out and just water these greens beyond the life of what they needed to be watered, because there is going to be no wind. And you're only doing that to basically get players to shoot 59s and 60s deliberately, if that is the case.
They don't want that. Surely they don't want that. But, the US Open coming back there soon. Yeah, it's a great opportunity for them to steer into it and present a firm pebble beach. Fingers crossed.
All in all, I don't know what you think. I reckon Thursday, Friday, pretty soft, or at least greens that are accepting shots quite easily. And then I think hopefully they just let the greens just start to release more over the weekend. That wasn't the case at Torrey Pines, because I thought the greens were releasing as early as Wednesday at Torrey Pines. So let's wait and see. All in all, I think you tend to get a consistent score here. I'm thinking kind of that 17 through 19 under probably wins. I'm just praying we don't get a Kapalua of 36 under and this kind of stupidity. I can't see it. I think the course is slightly too testing, as it's a major venue for that. I mean, Kapalua is so easy. But I'm thinking around that. If you're 18, 19 under, I don't think you're going to be a million miles away come the close on Sunday. That's the kind of scoring I'm thinking. So, in modern-day PGA Tour, I know last week was an exception. I don't see this being a 27, 29 under par birdie fest, hopefully. Now, some strokes gain numbers here. This is over the past four renewals. This data is for Pebble Beach only, but interestingly enough, and I've built this into kind of where my player selections are, if we're looking at the tee to green versus putting split, 56% of winning totals have been via tee to green and 44% via the putter. The split last week at Torrey Pines historically was 59-41. And going to something like the Sony Open a few weeks ago, that was a lot bigger. So it was 72% tee to green and only 28% on the green. So what this is telling us is team no putt this week isn't going to find you the winner. You need someone that's going to be putting positively on these Poana greens. Just for the number split, it's working out at 2.26 strokes tee to green and a whopping 1.8 strokes with the putter per round. So you need someone here that's going to make putts. And that kind of makes sense because on such small greens, the differential maker is going to be actually getting the ball in the hole. And that might not just be for birdies. It's also making those sort of 8, 10, 11-foot putts for par, which keep the momentum going, keep the round going. Looking at winners here in the past, you do see a lot of players that you know can actually putt well on Poa and have got a history of doing that. I mean, the prime example is Brant Snedeker, isn't it? He's won here in 2013 and 2015. If you want a great Poana putter, he's not a bad one. Jimmy Walker in 2014. Walker can be a prestigious, or in his pomp, was a prestigious putter, especially on Poana, Bent Poa, or something like that. Vaughan Taylor's won here. Jordan Spieth's won here, another great example. DJ won here in 09 and 10. And we know with DJ, when he was in his pomp, not only was he a phenomenal, phenomenal driver of the golf ball, but by that guy could putt as well. And even in modern times, Tom Hoagie, more of an approach player, but a streaky putter. Nick Taylor's won here, very good putter. Phil Mickelson's record here is elite. He won here in 2019. Last year, Wyndham Clark, he putted lights out. He really did to win that tournament. It was that 60 that he got on it. It was a 54-hole tournament. He got called, didn't it, on... got called on Saturday because of the gnarly conditions. He ranked 25th for tee to green and 2nd for strokes gained putting when he won here, 54 holes last year. So I think you've got to have a decent putter on board to win the tournament this week.
I might be catching you out with this question, but do you have kind of a list of the spread of how good and how bad people putt on these greens? Like, what's the difference between the best putter and the worst putter on the week? Because this is one of the toughest courses. Pebble Beach is one of the toughest on tour for making putts.
Wondering
how well you can separate yourself.
Well, the only thing I can throw out there right now is I can throw you towards our strokes gained rankings numbers, which Paul diligently in bed yesterday managed to actually produce in the pitch dark as he's any kind of light, and he feels like that he's literally in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean in a 50-mile-an-hour squall. But Emiliano Grillo has the best putting record here. Bearing in mind, he's only played two rounds. He was gaining 2.28 strokes per round with the putter. When I scan right down to the bottom of the strokes gained putting list, I've got Ben Griffin, who is in 79th place in this field. He lost 2 strokes per round with the putter on average. So you've got a 4.25 split there from the best putter on these greens to the worst putter. I don't know if that answers your question, but it's the best that I've got.
Pretty perfect. That's a lot.
Just to throw some names at you, at the people at the bottom of the list. I know you're not going to like this name, Barry. Ricky Fowler, 78th. Harris English, 77th. Kevin Yu, 76th. Cameron Young, 75th. Hideki Matsuyama, 74th. And Justin Thomas, 73rd. That's data taken on this golf course from all previous AT&T Pebble Beaches. I think Paul goes back to 2014 or something like that. Sorry, it's 2016 through 2024.
Just some context for those figures, though. Most of those players either played two, three, or four. All those players played two, three, or four rounds. So
it's a small data set.
One bad year, one bad week.
Yeah. It's a small data set.
Building their excuses for them.
I often think, though, Barry, that a player's schedule tends to suggest that, you know, if you basically gave a player a clean sheet of paper and said, right, you pick your schedule, players tend to play courses they like. And it was noticeable with Justin Thomas. And I know he's going to be very popular here this week, even though, well, we mentioned a few weeks ago what his conversion rate has been of late. And if you want to back him at those prices, that's your prerogative. But JT, he was never part of his schedule coming in. Jordan Spieth, if we sat in the pub and said, right, tell me five elite players that are going to play Pebble Beach this year. First name that would be on the sheet of paper, Jordan Spieth. He plays it all the time. Spieth's a regular here. Nick Taylor, Tom Hoagie, Jason Day, of course. There's a number. Mal Naughty, Bo Hosler. These are guys that play this tournament. Mark Hubbard. To his credit as well, Patrick Cantlay does like playing this golf course. So I'm just throwing that out there. But yes, take some of this data with a pinch of salt because some of these players haven't played a lot of golf here. But I always think that players play on courses they want to play on anyway. So they're now being offered $20 million, so they're going to come to this course anyway. Why wouldn't you? If you finish 35th, you're going to be making a decent amount for the week. I'm just trying to think anything else we might want to go through. Yeah, so weather forecast, calm, cold though. Temperatures 11 to 14 degrees Celsius. For you guys over in North America, that is 52 to 57 Fahrenheit. That is no colder, though, than what we saw here 12 months ago. But that, to me, again, feels quite North European. And we did see last year at the top of the leaderboard, it was won by Wyndham Clark with that round from the gods on Saturday. But there were also names at the top of the leaderboard like Ludvig Åberg, like Matteo Pavon, who had won the week before at the Torrey Pines Farmers Insurance Open, and Thomas Dietrich. So that was three Europeans at the top of the leaderboard, and Wyndham Clark came and took the title with a Saturday 60. So I don't think a North European look from there, if you want to build that into your teams or if you want to build that into your selections this week, that could pay some form of dividend. You know, just throwing names out there, someone like a Harry Hall, for example, who has been on fire on the PGA Tour so far this year in 2025 and even the end of 2024, playing some really good golf. Anything you want to throw in there before we go on to selections, Barry?
Hall's an interesting one. He's been on a great run recently and seems to handle the not super long tracks quite well, which is a bit paradoxical because he can hit it so far. But interesting. He was in my head, Steve, this week. I haven't pulled the trigger on him, but maybe you could talk me into him.
Well, if I'm looking at strokes going current form over the last eight tournaments, Harry Hall is sitting in eighth spot. Not bad, is it? When above him, he's got Scheffler, Morikawa, McIlroy, Cantlay, Thomas, Keegan Bradley, Sepp Straka. And he's tied with Tommy Fleetwood in eighth. So, yeah, he's playing golf. Well, let's be frank. Harry Hall is playing the best golf of his career, undoubtedly. Mm. And that has coincided with him, clearly, now being or working with Butch Harmon in Las Vegas. I don't think there's any doubt in the fact that Butch is pulling the best consistent golf out of Harry Hall that he's ever seen in his career. Cornish based, of course, so the weather's just going to be right up his street, isn't it? And I would have thought a lot of the courses down in Cornwall would be bent grass or certainly a mix of bent and Poano and whatever, just as a natural grass. So yeah, I think there's worse bets out there. Clearly I haven't tipped him up. I was on Ludvig Åberg last year. He was last week, he was the 18-hole leader. Then he got apparently flu, and from that point on just went backwards. I know that Åberg's going to be popular this week as well. I haven't put him up, so the first one I am putting up, 6th, 14th, 6th, 4th, 11th, 5th, 2nd, 4th, 7th, and 6th. Those are his notable finishes here at this tournament. I mentioned that he was in the top 10 for Tee to Green last week. That's no fluke either. He has been absolutely... I mean, he's been 7th and 11th for strokes gained on approach and 3rd and 10th for strokes gained Tee to Green across PGA West, where you remember he was in the top 5. And I know I haven't mentioned his name yet. And also Torrey Pines, Jason Day. I took 33-1 with Betfred 8 places each way on Jason Day. When I just looked at the winners, and I know trends change, I was looking at my spreadsheet. Who has won signature level events in recent times? They haven't been running them for very long, have they? Let's just go through them. Chris Kirk, 150-1. Wyndham Clark, 70-1. Matsuyama, 80-1. He was 46th in the world when he won at RIV last year. Then we've got Scheffler, 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 McIlroy, Scheffler, Scheffler. And the first one this year was won by Matsuyama, his second. He was 6th in the world. He was 20-1. All I'm thinking is, if you're going for deeper prices, Kirk, Clark, Matsuyama, all players that were multiple winners on the PGA Tour. So I think Jason Day kind of fits in that group. He loves the golf course. He's playing golf from the stars. I thought, why not? Because it would be hard not to see Jason Day towards the top of the leaderboard come the weekend, just because he loves this tournament so much and he loves these courses. So 33-1, I took Jason Day, 2 points each way with Betfred. Where are you actually chiming in, Barry, in terms of your prices this week on your selections?
Unfortunately for your Jason Day bet, I'm also on him. Been in mind for this for a couple of weeks and has shown me nothing to dissuade me. I mean, tell me like a golf course, but his results in this event is they're just incredible. So, I've seen a few tips for him out there, but his price is still kind of stable around the 33. So, yeah, be a lovely group win if we got him. He certainly got the experience, you know, to win here as well. It feels like just a little bit of guile is important. And maybe not everybody will have seen Pebble play firm and fast, but at some stage over the many, many years he's played it here, he'll have some experience in his back pocket of playing it firm and fast.
That
could be the difference.
Yeah. Last year, because the course was soft, they'd had rain. I think that advantaged the Bombers because they could hit it out there. There was no roll on the fairways. They could get out there, go in with clearly short clubs, whatever. If we're going to see rolling fairways and we're going to see hopefully tougher releasing firmer greens, I think that's going to put more emphasis on short game. So you're talking about Harry Hall potentially as something to look into at a bigger price. Get that. But that also makes sense for me in terms of a Jason Day, someone that's got absolutely fantastic lightning short around the green scrambling game. The thing that's actually been letting him down when you look at his numbers recently has been the putter. The putter's been negative across his last two outings, believe it or not. And one of those included a T3 finish at the American Express. If there's anywhere where Jason Day is going to find confidence with the putter straight away, it's going to be these Poana greens at Pebble Beach because he loves them. So if he keeps the rest of the game together, I think it's a logical extension.
And with his record, you've a phenomenal chance at an each way return anyway, on a 33-1, which is
I was pleased
a good week.
Yeah, I was pleased to take that 8 places each way with Betfred. There are offers out there. 8 places are available with Ladbrokes and Coral default. You got 10 places with Boyle Sports if you really want to take smaller prices. Of course, with Bet365, they will be offering, or they are offering each way extra 8, 10 and 12 places each way, as will Boyle Sports later in the day on Tuesday. So if you want to take the extended places but lower odds, there are firms out there that are offering that. Most of the others are going either 5, 6, or 7 places each way as a default this week. So there are options. Now, I know my second selection won't be one that you're on, but I can't deviate. Again, a player that's playing very good golf from tee to green. Half-decent record here. 2 appearances out of 3. I think he missed the cut in the US Open, but his 2 Pebble Beach appearances have been top 18 finishes. There is something here about winners of this tournament must have a top 18 finish somewhere before in this tournament before winning. I've gone for Keegan Bradley. I took 40-1 with Bet365. 8 places each way on Keegan Bradley, playing some really nice stuff. Interestingly, 7-time winner on the PGA Tour. He doesn't mind winning big tournaments. You remember, he won the BMW Championship in the playoffs last year. 2 of his last 4 wins have come with winning totals of 20 under and 23 under par. So you can misalign Bradley, as in, oh, he's a US Open, short, you know, 5 under par, 6 under par. When he's in good nick, he can get to the kind of totals that is going to be needed this week. Also, he's got a half-decent record on Poana or Bent Poa. He's got a couple of wins. Clearly, he doesn't do badly at Travelers every year, and that's a mix, kind of 80% Poana, 20% Bent. So I think he'll like the agronomy this week. Keegan Bradley, 1.5 points each way, 40-1 with Bet365. I've got 2 more, Barry. One's at 50, one's at 66s. Where are you coming in at?
Bradley makes a lot of sense, Steve.
I know you haven't got a post-it note of doom, but I know he'd be on there for you.
I'm okay with you spending your money on him. I wouldn't be okay with me spending my money on him. And this year in particular, he's the US Ryder Cup captain. Like, I don't, you know, I've got to call into question your, are you a true blue?
That does niggle away in the back of my mind.
but then the money hasn't will
he
already,
I think he's publicly stated he wants to be a player captain, doesn't he? He wants to be on the team. So, as a motivational thing. The other thing is, could you really give yourself a captain's pick? Surely you'd need to be in that top 6, don't you?
Yeah. That'd be pretty bold.
Pretty bold.
he's a serious competitor. And at 6th in your strokes gain total rankings, that's a pretty good match of price and going into the week. Who am I on? I haven't placed these bets yet, but you can talk me. So we've talked a little bit about Harry Hall. Yeah. He was one of those ones that was lurking in the back of my mind. And, so I kind of wanted to just soundboard it off you. And it feels like a bet that I will pull the trigger on. Playing some good golf, and I had him pegged until about a year ago as a guy who could only do well on long courses, but I think there was a week in Detroit he played very well on, and that kind of took me by surprise and kind of made me change my perspective on it. So that's why he was there kind of popping around in the back of my head for this. So I think I'm going to go for that. I backed Ricky Fowler. This is just a me thing. I kind of have at this stage. He was in my head for this. I kind of had a feeling he'd get a sponsor's invite, and will more than likely get a sponsor's invite for the rest of the signature events because he's Ricky Fowler.
It's not what you know, Barrett. It's who you know, isn't it?
It is, but he brings eyeballs. So yeah, and the tour needs eyeballs on their product at the moment. He's also in the TGL, so they just need to keep his name up there. So he's going to be there. I've no issue with that. He makes the fans happy. The players play for the fans. That's it. So I've had him in my head for this event. I don't know why. He's been playing some okay golf recently. So, not recently, but 2 weeks ago, finished 21st. A missed cut in the 47th year. Okay, but he's from California. So I managed to boost him to 100-1. So I took it.
Ricky Fowler 100-1. What price have you got on Harry Hall out of interest?
I haven't placed a bet yet, but I'm going to now.
We'll have a look. I'll go on to mine.
He's 80-1.
What's that, sorry?
Harry Hall's 80-1 across the boards, pretty much.
That's not bad for a player that's coming off of incoming form of 8th, 10th, 21st so far in 2025, is it? And yes, I know it's an elite field, But I'm sure there's going to be a few elites this week that don't perform. So Harry Hall is playing golf of his life. So I get the logic on that. I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm sticking with it. 1.5 points each way, 50-1 with Bet365. Again, I'm taking 8 places because I think you might need it with this particular individual. Maverick McNealy won his first PGA Tour event at the end of 2024, the RSM Classic. Now, what is that? That is a short golf course by the coast. He is a true specialist. He really is. Has to be short, coastal, great, and he's very, very positive on Poana. Anything Poana-based, be that pure Poana or Poana with Ben, happy. He's happy with that. He's a Californian lad, lives in Las Vegas, went to Stanford. It all makes logical sense. When this was a non, get that, non-signature level event, you know, much weaker field, he was the runner-up here. So he lost by one shot to one Daniel Berger in 2021 around here. And it's interesting, McNealy beat Daniel Berger by one stroke to win the RSM Classic last year in 2024. It's amazing how these things come around. Makes sense to me. And interestingly enough, with McNealy, if you're asking yourself the question, can he mix it in these kind of levels? Well, we've got a little bit of evidence to suggest that maybe he can, because he was 8th at the Century at the turn of the year. So that was mixing it with the big names. So I'm on Mav, 50-1, Bet365, 8 places each way on Maverick McNealy. So that's Bradley Day McNealy. My final selection is 66-1. I got that with William Hill, 7 places each way. Took the price because anything 8 places was down in the 55s and 50s. I mentioned him last week in just a bit of a stats breakout of what had happened at PGA West at the stadium course, and the player that had played best 36 holes around the stadium course. His name was Nick Taylor. So despite finishing 12th at the American Express, he was actually the best player for 36 holes round Pete Dye's stadium course. He won the Sony Open, finished 12th at the American Express, took a week off last week. Again, another short course player. The other thing I just like about him, we're getting 66-1, Barry, about a player that's won 3 of his past 41 starts. And I've put in my tip here, how the likes of Patrick Cantlay, Sungjae Im, Colin Morikawa and Justin Thomas would like that win conversion rate over recent times. 3 wins in his past 41 starts. Nick Taylor, 66-1. There is a precedent here. I can remember 2014. In fact, I remember this very, very well. 2013, end of, Jimmy Walker, who back then was being chastised for a guy that could never win a golf tournament, blah, 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 won. He won the, what was it called back then? Fries.com Open, I believe, at somewhere like Courdeval. He won that in the fall. He then went to the Sony Open and won that. He then came here to the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am and won that. So there is a precedent. It has been done. Walker's won the Sony Open and the Pebble Beach Pro-Am in the same year, 2014. Wouldn't be overly surprised if Nick Taylor could do the same thing. And don't forget with Nick Taylor, this is a guy that can win some pretty big tournaments. He was the first Canadian to win his own Open in 69 years. Imagine the pressure. And then last year, he held off Scottie Scheffler and Sahith Theegala on Super Bowl weekend at the rowdy, most attended golf tournament in the world, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, won that. So he can win big tournaments. So Nick Taylor's my last selection. Taylor, McNealy, Bradley and Jason Day. Those are my 4 selections. Any more from you, Barry?
A couple that are interesting me. Steve, talk me out of Beau Hosler.
I had a good look at him.
I mean,
he's got a great record here.
Yeah.
His numbers are strong.
Strokes gained total. It's killing me. Do I just do a little half point each way just to settle my mind? I might have to do that.
Well, you know, we said Harry Hall was T8 for strokes gained current at current form. Yeah, just behind him in 10th is Bo Hosler.
Yeah, and there's another player who is a little just one or two spots ahead of those guys respectively, and kind of in the vein of your Nick Taylor, Jimmy Walker argument, he won 2 weeks ago. He's one of our favourites, and he's 50-1. Yep. Seriously good driving accuracy, very good on approach, top 30 for scrambling. It's Sepp Straka.
I don't know if we're fishing in the right waters, but I just see Colin Morikawa, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, Ludvig Åberg. They're all shorter than Hideki Matsuyama this week, and considerably shorter. And as we've been saying, these guys haven't been winning recently. So it makes you look further down the board for a bit of value.
That's the thing. Look, it's not like whatever formula we've had going for us so far this year has been successful either. So maybe playing it a bit crazy is the way that we find the results.
Yeah, potentially. If Max had shown me anything last week, I'd have been on Max Homer, but he's struggling at the moment. Interesting to note, and I haven't said it, Jordan Spieth, this is his first outing since he's had his operation at the end of last year. So it'd be interesting to see, and you mentioned it in previous podcasts, Spieth is going to need to hit the ground running to get into the Ryder Cup this year. He needs to show something through the spring and into the summer. So it'd be interesting to see how he performs.
I'm excited for Jordan Spieth this year. I'd love to see him just even flash a few times, like he did back, you know, in his pomp. It's much more interesting when he's there and have, you know, call it antics or whatever, but hearing him and Greta talk out shots is fascinating.
100-1 available out there. You've got 90-1 on Matt Fitzpatrick. I mean, there's a guy that's horribly out of form, but there are some big name players that aren't in good nick at deeper prices, and at some point they are going to need to click. I'm not saying it's this week, but if we can get in on early on these players, there could be some fun to be had with the odds that we're going to get on them. It's just picking the right tournaments. Right, I'm not going to run through Bahrain because I'm no expert on it. All I know is that on the website we have Paul's breakdown of the course. Barry's got what his selections are, just roughly. Royal Golf Club, 7,302-yard par 72. Of course, it's in the desert. It's hosted tournaments in the past like the 2011 Volvo Golf Champions. We saw it's a par 72, 36-36 split. Played last year. Dylan Fritelli won at 13 under par. He was 175-1. And just looking at what the leaders did last year, it would appear they were all big drivers of the golf ball. Fritelli won. He ranked third for driving distance. Xander Lombard and Jesper Svensson, now playing on the PGA Tour, were T2. They ranked 12th and 4th for driving distance. Frédéric Lacroix, you've been sniffing around him recently, I think. And Åke Strydom were 16th and 11th for driving distance on the week. And I took some of this in yesterday, but I was focusing on Pebble Beach. It would look like players that can hit the ball a long way isn't a bad idea. The strokes gained splits were for Fritelli. He was 4th for off the tee, 1st for approach. I mean, isn't that the dream? 4th for off the tee, 1st for approach, 1st for tee to green, surprisingly enough, 33rd for around the green, and 31st for putting. Do you want to take the listeners through Paul's selections from his darkened room, Baron?
Just the names. I don't have the full rationale. No. Paul just had enough energy to get the names out. Lacroix did okay last week, but yeah, just didn't do well enough. So The bookies kept my money. Paul's picks for this week, with no rationale behind them, unfortunately, but David Rivetto, Dan Brown, and Hao Tong Li.
Hawthorne was the one I looked at. By the way, just Paspalum grass this week. It'd be very remiss of the Golf Betting System podcast not to tell the listeners what the grasses were this week. Paspalum this week.
Interestingly, none of those three players of Paul's picks have played this course last year. So, but then again, the rest of the field only has one or maybe two times around this as experience. Yeah, so,
I took two
huge disadvantage.
I took two really obvious bets. I looked last week and looked at this particular individual, and I thought to myself. And we just went through his record, and his first outing of the calendar year had always been a slow kind of get the rust off. And I just thought to myself, last week's course at Ras Al Khaimah was, I think it was Paspalum again, wasn't it? These courses tend to be fairly similar, I always think. And I thought, nah, won't back him. And of course he finished third. So I'm on him. He's obvious. He's 20-1. David Puig. I just think he's a phenomenal talent. 20-1. I think he'll give us a run for his for our money. Bet 365, eight places each way extra. I've taken David Puig. In the same kind of mould, on first show yesterday, I took Angel Iora. I've got no... Iora? Angel Iora. I'm getting Matsuyama right these days, but I'm struggling with Angel Iora. But anyway, that's what I'm calling him. 35-1, bet 365, eight places each way. Again, he is absolutely phenomenal off the tee. He putted really well last week. If we can get a decent week with the approaches, I think this course is going to be perfect for him. So nice. Puig and Arroyo for me. What about you, Baron?
I've done much. I'll probably cherry pick a little bit from you guys on this event. I kind of lean on Paul's preview very heavily for the DP World Tour because he just gets stuck into it on a deeper level than I seem to be able to do on my own. Just kind of freeloading and piggybacking his work. But I like the Iora bet, Steve. Puig as well as solid. I think I'll pack the go with you on the Iora. Just do one nugget for European Tour.
I think so.
This week, yeah.
I feel
a bit out of sync at the moment. So yeah, I'm just gonna keep a little interest in with one bet.
As we said off mic, these DP World Tour events are never the easiest to call, and especially at the start of a year. But yes, I think Iora's the bet of the week. And Puig at 20-1. I know let's not be price proud. He's a phenomenal talent, is David Puig. I really think he is. If he wasn't with Liv, he'd be one of those guys that I actually think would have a outside chance of a Team Europe Ryder Cup place because he's that talented. My opinion only. I think that's us done, Barry. Thank you for your support this week. I know we haven't been as, what's the word I'm looking for? As
a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, well-oiled machine that we usually are, because clearly we're without our old mucker, Paul. Like I said, if you could send some messages to Paul on X or via his Blue Sky feed or email him, paul.williams@golfbettingsystem.co.uk, I'm sure they would perk him up. Your notes of support. Right. I hope your bets go well, Barry. Thank you for your time this week.
You too, Steve.
I hope your bets go well, listeners, your DraftKings teams and the like. We will be back next week. I always get excited for this one, Barry. Super Bowl weekend, Waste Management, Phoenix Open, TPC Scottsdale. That is on the menu in next week's podcast. We will see you again soon. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut. get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. Cause it's the golf betting system, the golf betting system, it's the golf.